Meditation of my heart, be of good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The text of our sermon today comes from Isaiah chapter 60, the first verse. Arise, give light, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yahuwah is risen upon thee. What is the glory of Yahuwah, and upon whom did it arise? If we can understand this, we will have a better idea of why it is that we look so forward to Christmas and the celebration of the Lord's birth. We are given the answer to this question in part in the story of the shepherds watching their sheep by night. It says that when the angel of the Lord stood by them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Here the glory of the Lord, or Yahuwah, is said to shine around them. In other words, it lit up the darkness of the night in which they were, and they could see with their spiritual eyes the angel of the Lord, and hear with their spiritual ears the good tidings of the Lord's birth. This glory brought into the world with the Lord's coming, spiritual light, the Lord's divine truth accommodated to their reception. Yes, they feared with great fear, but they were able to receive it. And after they saw the glory of the Lord and heard the good tidings that Christ the Lord was born into the world, then we learned that a whole society of angels appeared to them, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." This is also involved in the Lord's glory brought to the shepherds, for the glory was not from the angels, but from God himself, now born into the world. And so the angels gave glory to God. And in a similar way, after the shepherds saw the newborn Lord in the manger, as the angels had told them, it says they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was spoken to them. These shepherds are like the nations that are prophesied in Isaiah, who walk to the Lord's light, called while they tended their flocks. And like the flocks of Kedar and the rams of Nebaoth, they came to see what the Lord had made known to them. The glory of Yahuwah in Isaiah is the divine truth, shining forth to all who had been in darkness, to some who awaited this advent patiently for many years, like the wise men, to others who saw the glory of the Lord for the first time and came willing to find more. It was indeed a time of darkness, for the Lord's church, for the most part, had fallen away into falsities and evils and could no longer see anything spiritual. Darkness covered the land and dense darkness the people. The land being the church and the peoples being the truths of the church twisted and turned until they gave no light. But many others were simply in ignorance, especially among the nations or Gentiles. And so it was when the Lord came into the world, he, although was rejected in general by those of his church, the descendants of Israel, his glory was seen by those outside the church, and the Christian church grew among the Gentiles. In many ways, this is the message of the whole prophecy of Isaiah. In spite of the darkness that engulfed the church, which was coming to an end, the glory of the Lord shone forth into the world, and those who were receptive came to the light. The sons from afar came, distant nations such as Tarshish and Seba. The sons of the east also, which were to be found in nations such as Sheba, Syria, and Kedar, or Arabia. From these came the wise men, bringing the same gifts prophesied in this chapter. And they also were said to bring tidings of the praises of Yahuwah. For they were a remnant of the ancient church, and they knew that the infant was indeed God on earth, Yahuwah the Savior, which is the meaning of the name Jesus. Thus they fell down and worshiped him. Like the angels and the shepherd, they gave glory to God. This prophecy of Isaiah and its description of the city of Yahuwah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, is similar in many ways to the description of the New Jerusalem. For in verse 11 we read, "Thy gates shall be open continually, by day and by night they shall not be shut, to bring to thee the forces of the nations and their kings directed there." Again, near the end of this prophecy it says, "The sun shall no more go in, come in, and neither shall the moon gather itself away, for Yehovah shall be thine eternal light. And similar to these prophecies, we find these words in the book of Revelation. And the city has no need of the sun, nor of the moon to shine in her, for the glory of God enlightened her. And her lamp is the Lamb. And the nations of are those who were saved shall walk in her light. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into her. And her gate shall not be shut by day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into her. Here we find yet one more way of giving glory to God. And that is to recognize that any glory, which is true glory, that might appear to be ours, is not ours, but the Lord's. The internal sense of the kings of the earth bringing their glory and honor into her is that all who are in the truths of wisdom from spiritual good will there confess the Lord and ascribe to him every truth and every good that is with them. And something similar is meant by these words, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. This signifies that they who enter will bring with them the confession, acknowledgement, and belief that the Lord is the God of heaven and earth, that every truth of the church and every good of religion is from him. For kings are mentioned in relation to the understanding of truth, and nations in relation to the will, or what is of good. We are reminded here of the second lesson from the Arcana Celestia, where it describes the glorification of the Lord by the heavens. It was a heavenly voice, heard far and wide, to an extent so immense that the hearing failed to reach its end. But at another time, this glorification in the heavens was perceived like shining rays of light flowing down and affecting the interiors of the mind. When we think again of the prophecy in Isaiah about the glory of the Lord coming, beaming forth from the holy city, inviting all who are willing to enter, we can also see this glory being reciprocated by the nations and kings far and wide, coming into the city, glorifying the Lord for his redemption and salvation. In many ways, this is describing the new heaven established by the Lord when he came into the world, and also the new heaven which is now being established by the Lord in his second advent. But it is also describing the first Christian church, formed by the Gentiles, receiving the gospel in their minds, hearts, and lives. And it is also describing the New Jerusalem, which is the new church. For we are taught that the sign of the second advent is enlightenment, and that the clouds have been dispersed in the spiritual world, and the light of heaven can once again be received from the Lord. This enlightenment is clearly from spiritual light of truth. We often think of it spreading forth after the Lord came into the world, and the news of his advent and resurrection spreading throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. Just as if you think of the light of the New Jerusalem spreading into the world as the heavenly doctrine is seen and received by the world. And in many ways, this is true. But the words of this prophecy in Isaiah, and also with the coming down of the New Jerusalem, give us a different perspective. It seems that the brightness of his rising and the glory of the city of Yehovah is seen at a great distance, and his sons see this from afar and come. And this is also what took place in the spiritual world when the Lord was born, and especially when he glorified his human. We read in the doctrine of the sacred scripture that the people outside the church who are not in possession of the word have light by its means. There can be no conjunction with heaven unless somewhere on the earth there is a church where the word is and whereby it the Lord is known. For the Lord is the God of heaven and earth, and apart from him there is no salvation. It is sufficient that there be a church where the word is, even if it consists of comparatively few. For even in this case, the Lord is present by its means in the whole world. For by its means, heaven is conjoined with the human race. And so while the spread of the Christian church depended on the apostles and later the Christians to teach the gospel to the nations, and while the increase of the new church depends on the reception of the heavenly doctrine, just as the presence of the holy city, the Lord's holy city, the New Jerusalem, the city of Yehovah among a few, is sufficient for the glory of the Lord to shine forth from heaven into the whole world. For the light of the Lord's word and the glory of his divine human are far greater than the light of the natural sun and moon. If we set our focus on the happenings of this world, we could easily become discouraged and think that the Lord's kingdom will never come. And yet the Lord's kingdom has come, for this is the coming of the Lord. And all those who believe in God and do the good of their religion, even though they themselves may not know it, are walking to his light, to the brightness of his rising. For the Lord's kingdom stretches out far and wide, as the glorification of the Lord by heaven is said to have an extent so immense that the hearing of it failed to reach its end, as the sight fails when it beholds the universe. For indeed, the Lord's kingdom is throughout the entire universe. As we have seen, the glory of the Lord is the divine truth coming down from the Lord out of heaven, and it is the reception of this glory and the praise and glorification of those who receive it. But although the angels and the church, and even those out of the church in the measure they receive good and truth from the Lord, have a part in this glorification of the Lord, it is not their glory, but the Lord's. The kings and the nations bring their glory into the New Jerusalem, confess, acknowledge, and believe that every truth of the church and that every good of religion is from the Lord alone. This brings us to the second part of the question. On whom does this glory arise? At first, it appears to be the city. And in fact, throughout this prophecy, especially in the literal sense, the Lord or Yahuwah is speaking to the city of God, Zion or Jerusalem being renewed. And even in the internal sense, it seems the Lord is talking to the man of the church, that he is shining his glory upon us. And so we hear the words, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." We hear the Lord telling us to rise up and greet the new and wonderful day of the Lord's birth into the world. And we can behold his glory as the glory of the only begotten, the divine human, full of grace and truth. And in part, this is what is meant. But much of the explanation of this prophecy found in the heavenly doctrine expounds the inmost sense. And he who is to rise, and not simply shine, but give light, and whose light is come, and upon whom the glory of Yahuwah is to rise, is of course the Lord himself in his divine human. This is the most common explanation for the first verse of this prophecy, and it refers to another prophecy of the Lord's advent in Isaiah to show us how this is true. For in our reading from the Arcana Celestia, where both of these prophecies are quoted, it says, "As it is the Lord that is treated of, it is Yahuwah himself. For he says, 'I am Yahuwah, this is my name, and my glory will I not give to another.' For the glory of the Lord is the divine truth itself. And the Lord only could receive this, and then through his human, which he glorified, make it possible for us to receive it in the measure that we are able. It is for this reason that he came into the world. For only the Lord could face and remove the darkness that covered the land, that had so invaded the church that his word was no longer able to save them. And so he, as the Word, the divine truth, became flesh and showed us his glory. All of those who walked to his light and came to the brightness of his rising saw this glory, that the divine was in him and that his words were truth and life. They saw that their salvation depended upon him and always would. They did not come into the church for their own glory, but rather to give all glory to the Lord." During most of the year, we find ourselves concerned with the teachings about our regeneration and what we should do in our life to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And well, we should. For if we do not shun evils as sins against God, if we do not put away lusts and the evil deeds that come from them, we will have no part in heaven or in the Lord's church. As we read in Isaiah, "Violence shall not be heard anymore in thy land, nor devastation and breaking in thy borders. But they shall call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise." The walls of salvation only save those in the city, and the gates only allow those through them who walk in the light. But as the kings and the nations which came into the holy city, we must not forget that the work of redemption and salvation, or our reformation and regeneration, is the work of the Lord alone. Our confession, recognition, and belief of this is essential if we are to enter the city and be received by the Lord. It is this that makes the truths we have learned, the truths of the Lord's church, and the goods that we do, the goods of religion. It is this that is meant by giving glory to God and glorifying the Lord. It is for this reason that we are taught in the work Conjugal Love that glorification by the angels of the Lord is done from the Lord and to the Lord, especially by the words of sacred scripture. In this case, it was celebrating the Lord's second advent. And here also in the heavens, from the east and to the west, and from the north to the south, joined together in the glorification of the Lord. And when we read the prophecy of the Lord's first advent in Isaiah chapter 60, we sense a similar harmony as each approaches the city with their special gifts and contributions, all with the recognition that the Lord is the source of all glory and that He is the source of everything worthwhile. He came into the world to let His glory be seen and be received by anyone whose heart and life were ready to receive true innocence, the willingness to be led by the Lord. And so the prophecy ends with these words, "A small one shall become a thousand, and a little one a numerous nation. I, Yehovah, will hurry it in its time." Amen. Now be glory and dominion forever and ever to our Lord Jesus Christ.